Good morning. We welcome you this morning to the morning session of the December term for the Nebraska Court of Appeals. My name is David Arterburn. I am from Papillion. I'm pleased to be joined today on my left by Francie Reedman of Gretna and Judge Mike Pirtle of Omaha. When I call the cases, I will call the cases twice for the first time, just to make sure that the recording is clear as to what case is being heard. So please wait for me to call the name of the case twice. The first case is Escobar versus JBS USA. And the appellant's counsel may approach the podium. And once again, the first case is Escobar versus JBS USA. And Mr. Shires, is that correct? You may proceed.
Yes, Your Honor. If it pleases the court, my name is Thomas Shires. I represent the appellant, JBS USA, in this matter. This matter proceeds on appeal from appellant raises two issues. The first being that the court erred in ordering appellant to pay medical expenses related to appellee's hospitalization from February 23rd, 2016 to February 25th, 2016. It is appellant's position that there is no evidence in the record supporting a finding that such medical expenses were related to appellee's work injury, and that the court incorrectly shifted the burden of proof to the appellant to prove that such medical services were not related to the injury. The second issue on appeal is the award of temporary total disability benefits for 4 weeks from February 17th, 2016 to March 24th, 2016. It is appellant's position that there is no evidence in the record supporting that such need to be off work and temporary total disability benefits are related to the work injury. On this matter, there's also a cross appeal from appellee seeking temporary disability benefits from June 28th, 2015 to April 21st, 2016, including that 4 week period I just mentioned. And with regard to that issue, that the court did not award temporary disability benefits other than that 4 week period of February 17th, 2016 to March 24th, 2016. And it is the appellant's position that there is evidence in the record supporting the court's finding that the appellee is not entitled to temporary disability benefits for those remaining periods. This matter arises from a June 25th, 2015 low back injury as part of appellee's employment. The accident itself was not disputed. However, there was a dispute regarding the nature and extent of the injury. The court then determined that appellee's ongoing condition was related to the original accident and injury, and ultimately found that the appellee suffered a 15% loss of earning capacity. And none of that is at issue today. Following the injury, the appellee started treating with Dr. Christopher Anderson, as his treating physician. Dr. Christopher Anderson at different times assessed the appellee with a work injury, mechanical low back pains, and lumbar discogenic pains. Appellee continued to treat with Dr. Christopher Anderson conservatively. Appellee also underwent an examination with defense examiner Dr. Dennis Bozarth, who assessed appellee with lower back pain with subjective findings out of proportion to the physical examination and biophysical social stressors. Ultimately, at issue here is the appellee's hospitalization from February 23, 2016 to February 25, 2016. On February 23, 2016, appellee appeared in the emergency room complaining of low back pain. However, appellee testified at trial and during his deposition that he went to the emergency room because he was numb on the entire left side of his body. Appellee testified that he was numb from his head to his foot and as well as his hand on his left side of his body. While in the emergency room, appellee also complained of some other issues, including hesitancy with urination over the past several months. While in the emergency room, it was noted that appellee had an elevated heart rate of over 120 beats per minute. At that point, appellee was given an IV in an effort to reduce his heart rate. When the IV did not work to reduce his heart rate, Apelli was eventually given another IV in an effort to reduce his heart rate. However, that still did not reduce his heart rate, and ultimately it was determined that Apelli was admitted to the hospital in order to watch his tachycardia and his elevated heart rate. While hospitalized over the next 2 days, Apelli went under over 30 tests and examinations, ranging over multiple issues. Apelli underwent tests for strep throat. He complained of sore throat. Apelli underwent tests for sexually transmitted diseases. He underwent tests related to varicose veins. He underwent tests related to abdominal pains, etc.
And the purpose of these tests were what? To rule out what?
And that is the question is in this matter, is there no opinion other than the symptoms that Apelli was complaining about at those times. He had issues with nausea, vomiting, things like that. He was diagnosed with strep throat. He was diagnosed with multiple other issues. And the question is, a lot of these were diagnostic testing, and why was Apelli undergoing them? And the issue is that there is no clear opinion on why Apelli was undergoing many of these tests. And despite the fact that there is no opinion relating any of these multiple tests, including those that are questionably not related to any back injury, whether sore throat, sexually transmitted diseases, things like that, there is no opinion relating these tests to the original back injury. And so the question arises from the fact that the court awarded many of these these diagnostic testing to be paid by appellant.
Well, didn't the court try to delineate between those that the court could determine to be related or not related to the work injury?
Yes, Your Honor. The court did eliminate some of the expenses that it found were clearly not related to the low back injury. However, the issue is the fact that the court then stated that with regard to the items that the court was unfamiliar with, and the court specifically on page 12 of its award, the court stated that with those items that which it could find no documentation in the records to explain, it ordered defendant to pay.
So it's an issue of burden of proof.
Yes, right? Your Honor, exactly.
And who has the burden of proof, the employee or the employer? And this was Judge Martin?
Yes, correct? Your
Honor. And Judge Martin, I guess we can determine from her order that she found the burden of proof rested with the employer to disprove that those treatments were related to the accident. Does that sum it up?
That sums it up, Your Honor. That is exactly our position. And I mean, in one sentence as well, the court's award said that it could find no evidence that these expenses were not related to the work injury. And our position is that that's not the burden of proof. And the court impermissibly placed the burden of proof on the employer to prove that these medical expenses were not related.
So what was the left-sided numbness that he was experiencing on the left side of his body, was that a symptom that was causally related to the back injury?
There is no expert opinion that has related that left-sided numbness to the back injury.
Was there another explanation for it?
I do not believe there was another explanation for it ever either.
So let's say the appellee goes to the emergency room because he's experiencing left-sided numbness that would have been causally related to the accident. If he starts having an irregular heartbeat or starts having stomach issues as a reaction to something they're giving him, that all would still follow from that left-sided numbness problem, right? So the things you listed, all the tests and things like that, if they just happen to follow from the left-sided numbness, that's kind of hard to get by, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor. I think there are cases that talk about diagnostic testing and the ability to, recognize that, employers are responsible for diagnostic testing when you're attempting to determine, are these things related to the original work injury. However, in this case, we think that some of the testing is so far out from a low back injury that you can't possibly infer that they would be related to the low back injury without some sort of expert opinion. How is a sore throat testing or sexually transmitted disease testing? How are those tests related to a low back injury without expert opinion? I would actually say that this case is very similar to the Supreme Court's case in Vera versus Iowa Beef Processors, where it was a diagnostic testing case where the employee underwent diagnostic testing for gastrointestinal issues. And in that case, the Supreme Court ordered that the agreed with the review panel in that matter that the court could not award employer responsible to test for diagnostic testing related to gastrointestinal problems without expert evidence that the gastrointestinal problems are related to the work injury.
You have anything?
I will review the rest of my time for rebuttal.
You want to say, okay, any other questions at this time? All right, thank you. Mr. Dowd.
Good morning, may it please the court, counsel. I'd like to first start off by addressing the Vera decision. In that particular decision, it was undisputed that all medical physicians agreed that the gastrointestinal problems had no relationship to the underlying work injuries. It's not the same case. It's not even close to the factual situation that we have here. In this particular case, the court was called upon first to go ahead and determine causation. Was there any underlying work injury that was sustained by this employee? And the answer was yes. He was diagnosed with a work-related injury resulting in left lumbar radiculitis and lumbar discogenic pain, and that was supported by the opinions of Dr. Anderson and Dr. McClellan. Once the court reached that finding that there was a compensable left-sided back injury, the court then had to turn upon a question of whether this medical bill associated with the hospitalization was related. The pretrial is cited within the award. The pretrial narrowly defined what the scope of that question was going to be. There was no foundational objection raised with respect to this medical bill. And the pretrial lists that issue is whether any unpaid medical expenses were necessary as a result of plaintiff's accident. Looking at that particular question, the court had to answer the question of what necessitated this hospitalization.
And whose burden of proof is that?
In terms of the necessitation of the hospitalization, that would be the plaintiff's burden of proof. And we believe that we've met that. The court cites the case of, I'm going to slaughter this, Laufan, which is simply a case where the court in the past looked at the totality of the evidence. Not specific entries, but looking at the cumulative evidence that was before the court. Now, this includes the opinions of Dr. Anderson. This includes the opinions of Dr. McClellan defining what that injury is. And then that is looked at in comparison to the entry history of the Nebraska Medical Center, which says complaints of sharp low back pain, shooting radiating down left leg, same side, worse with sitting and standing, ongoing constantly since injury back in June of 2015. Clearly, this is a relationship of this particular hospitalization to the injury that the court has now found to be compensable.
So you're saying that you did prove that the left-sided numbness that he was complaining of was causally related to the accident.
Clearly we did, and the court agreed with that. And when we look at Exhibit 15, page 26, this is a discharge summary. What was the reason for the hospitalization? Patient was admitted due to irretractable back pain. Pearson is a 30-year-old male, significant ongoing back pain after sustaining a back injury lifting meat about 9 months ago. Clearly the totality of the evidence looking at that type of discharge conclusion by the treating physicians allowed for the court to go ahead and consider this billing as part of the reasonable medical expenses arising as a result of this accident.
In so, that, what you just read to us from the discharge, is that under history and physical, that portion that you just read?
The reason for hospitalization was the admitted to irretractable back pain. The course of treatment then goes on to express in further detail what that treatment was and the basis for it.
So it's beyond the history.
It is beyond the history.
That the employee gave.
Correct. And that's what the Laufan decision, in my opinion, really speaks to, because they talk about checkbox questionnaires, is that sufficient? Entries within medical records, is that sufficient? History. And the court comes back and says, listen, you got to look at the totality of the evidence. And simply that is what Judge Martin was indicating in this instance.
So is it your position, once you establish the causal connection between the symptoms and the hospitalization, that once the hospital starts running different kinds of tests, regardless of what it's for, it's causally related?
Clearly, it has to be that case. When we look at the Pavel versus Hughes Brothers case, cited actually by counsel within their reply brief, that's the exact factual situation that existed. In that case, this individual ended up going to Mayo Clinic. There are tests that were run, including eye exams, that went way beyond the back problems that they were experiencing. And the court concluded, as they indicate, it's obvious that the examination was made to eliminate as well as determine the cause of plaintiff's continued disability. If you have an injured worker that finds himself in a hospital, we cannot put the burden on that injured employee now to engage in some form of self-diagnosis and limit the scope of the course of treatment. That's for the doctors to determine. And if there's a differential diagnosis that requires certain treatment, certain tests to be run to rule out other possible causes, that has to be included as part of the expenses and the obligation of the employer. What is interesting in the Pavel case is that it cites as further support Crable versus Western Sugar Company, 166 Nebraska 795. And the Supreme Court stated in that particular case, where the evidence shows that certain hospital nursing expenses have been incurred by the injured employee, a prima facie case is made out. And in the absence of showing that the expenses so incurred were unreasonable, such proof shall be held to be sufficient. Isn't that what we're talking about here?
Well, I don't know that we're talking about the reasonableness of the cost as much as we're talking about the necessity of it.
And can I clarify, and I want to give you a chance to answer, so are you saying that the pretrial order, the only issue then left for the trial was the necessity of the expenses? Everything else had been either waived or stipulated to?
Without question. And that's contained actually within the second page of the court's award, where it sets out the stipulation of the parties and whether the unpaid medical expenses were necessary as a result of plaintiff's injury or accident. So further, if we can look at the actual ordered expenses, it's clear that the court engaged in its own analysis and determination of what was related and not related. So this laundry list of unrelated charges that counsel would argue have in fact been considered by the court. Of the $28,033 in expense, the court ordered $16,800 be paid.
Which I don't think it's uncommon for us to see a workers' compensation judge making a determination of what was necessary, what was not related. I think where this is a little bit different is we have the trial judge saying, I don't know what this is, and therefore I'm going to make the employer pay for it.
And I think, in all honesty, that is a clerical error in terms of defendant versus plaintiff, because if you look at this particular itemization, you're going to see that the court in fact engaged in that striking of any of those unrelated charges. And I think if that matter was, in fact, clarified on this decision, we're not going to have any reduction in the ordered payment of those expenses, because I think that's what the intent of the court was. We did not file a non-proton within 10 days. We're stuck with the language as it exists, but it's not going to change the ultimate outcome, in my opinion.
So would you agree that the ultimate burden is on the employee to show that it's related?
In terms of the necessity, I agree, and we have shown that. I think that it would be fair for the court to go ahead and require a further step for the employee to go ahead and slice out and engage in a medical audit of their bills. I think once it's determined to be the necessity that you've gone into the doctor or the hospital for that particular condition, the fact that other tests are done should not even be a consideration, because it's part of the overall differential diagnosis of hospitalization.
Well, in your cross-appeal, that's not an issue you raised, correct?
In the cross-appeal, the issue raised was with respect to the failure to go ahead and award temporary total disability benefits.
So you didn't cross it. I mean, it sounds like from your argument, you're saying that the judge shouldn't have eliminated any of the expenses, if I'm understanding your argument correctly.
Correct.
But you didn't raise that on cross appeal.
The argument was set forth within our response to the appeal. You are correct. With respect to the cross appeal, the issue with respect to the cross appeal is simply, would the court find that this individual was restricted from returning back to his employment, which is a factual finding, and it's supported by all doctors, supported by the defense witnesses, the fact that that person then goes ahead and has to accept a lower pain position? during that period of time. Finally, with respect to the second issue on appeal raised by the defendant, clearly that's a factual issue that recites to the TTD entitlement of that the plaintiff, and obviously this court is not allowed to go ahead and relay the facts factual determination.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Dyer.
Right, thank you.
All right, and how much time does Mr. Shires have?
Yes, Your Honor, I just kind of add that, you know, the point is there are some questionable medical expenses. You know, there's a question of whether or not they're related. But the issue, down to its point, is that the judge specifically stated that for medical expenses that it is unfamiliar with and for which there is no documentation in the record, it placed those medical expenses on the defendant, thereby placing the burden of proof on the defendant impermissibly to prove that the medical expenses were not related to the work injury, and therefore the order ordering the defendant to pay for those medical expenses must be reversed.
What about the athlete's argument that enough pro tempore would have cleared it up, because really what the judge did was exclude those specific ones?
To me, the judge's order is clear. I mean, it specifically states that for those charges that I'm unfamiliar with and that there is no documentation in the record for, those charges are charged to the defendant. On reading the award, this is not something that comes across as a clerical error. It reads as something that the judge clearly meant to say, that those were charged to the defendant.
Thank you very much. Case will be taken under submission. You are the attorneys are excused.